Look, it was a shock. I mean, we'd been expecting all sorts, as I said before we went, and we pretty much got what we expected in terms of, you know, the flight delays, the bus trips and the fireworks. All of that was we were ready for. But I think we were all sat in the hotel. The players were resting, and we actually had the New Zealand ambassador with us, and these three jets flew by. And pictures then very quickly circulated amongst the group because some of the guys were outside on the roof. And it was just, you know, just staggering to see how close they'd got. And then, of course, what happened is we saw they were branded with Go Peru. We saw the pilots were branded. And so it was clearly an organised buzz on the hotel, which I just think was probably a step too far. And everybody was just a little bit concerned at the time because, of course, that's clearly being sanctioned at quite a high level for something like that to happen.
So what did you do? I mean, the ambassador for New Zealand over there, what, does he get in contact with our government? They get in contact with the Peruvian government?
So our ambassador's lady, Jackie made contact directly with the Peruvian Ministry of Defence. And the initial response was that it was an exhibition, which was rubbish. It went straight over our hotel, not the Peru hotel, not the stadium. And we went back into Sport New Zealand for them to put a note up through the ministry into Sports Minister. So it went up two lines very quickly. I think contact was made and we made our feelings known because the key thing really was there was a lot of New Zealanders in Peru, in Lima that day. And we just wanted to make sure everybody was safe. I don't think until that point anybody felt unsafe. You know, it was passionate, it was crazy, but there was no problems at all. But this just was a step too far and it just concerned everybody.
Do you plan to take this to FIFA? Is there an avenue for you to take this to FIFA?
Look, we've certainly raised it with the Peruvian FA. Ironically, we've had dinner with them a couple of days before. So we've certainly raised it with them straight away and they were very sheepish on the night of the game. So we will absolutely raise it subsequently. But I mean, at the end of the day, everybody's hurting because we've lost our place in the World Cup. These things are sort of periphery, really. We just got to pick ourselves up and regroup. But yeah, we'll make sure that, you know, our feelings are known because I think, you know, like we said several weeks ago, and we probably got criticised for, we knew what was coming and what we got was what we expected plus.
Yeah, look, I think you got lost in translation, Andy. I mean, you were on my show. You said, let's get behind these boys. Let's make it as difficult as possible for Peru. And, you know, the Peruvians reacted with vigour and said, you know, this Andy Martin, they went on social media, they jumped on, you know, radio programs like mine. But we knew Peru were going to make our life miserable over there.
Look, the funniest thing on reflection was when we'd been on the plane from Auckland to Buenos Aires with Air New Zealand and full marks to Air New Zealand. The staff were all volunteers who'd come on specially for the flight. They looked after us fantastically well. The banter, the chatter, the service was exceptional. So a big thank you to them. But we got to Chile, we got off and we rushed through to our plane. It wasn't there as planned. And then the funny moment was when we sat down on the front of the charter plane and the coach said to the air steward, what time will we get to Lima? And she turned around and said, we're going to Chile. And that was the first thing we knew about what happened. So it transpires, again, we're pursuing that, but it transpires that the day before, the Peruvian authorities changed the landing slot that had been approved from 8:30 till 11:01. And that was the first we knew about it. So, wow. You know, it started from when we landed, really. And I think you can imagine the look on our faces when we heard that. But as I say, these things we sort of prepared for. We didn't prepare for the military jets, unfortunately.
Okay. Andy Martin, CEO of New Zealand Football with us. Andy, now you've had a couple of days to reflect. I know you've had a hell of a journey back. It's been a hell of a couple of weeks for you. Be honest with me. Rate that campaign, home and away.
I think we got what we wanted out of the first game. I think we always said we wanted to be in the second game. I think Wellington came out and did us proud. I think the crowd quietened the Peruvians. And we got a result that we were happy with. And bearing in mind, we'd had to wrap Chris in cotton wool all week. We'd have to hide from the media so that no one knew what was going on. I think Anthony did a very, very good job. The team did a good job. So we were very happy when we left New Zealand. I think the second game, we were quietly confident. And I've got to say that the boys performed fantastically well. I think if you look at the team to a man, everybody performed well. No one stood out as not performing. I think the first goal was, you know, just one of those things. The second goal killed us. It was a set piece and you know, we're normally better than that. So everybody was very disappointed. But at that point, we were chasing the game. So I think for me, the first 20 minutes, as you said, you saw a number 10 side in the world for the first time that we'd seen. You know, they came at us very quick. The ground was absolutely rocking. I mean, I've been in some big stadiums around the world in some big games, and that was up there. I mean, it was just crazy. So full marks to them for what they did in the show. And full match them as a team. They were a very, very good team on the night. But we were with them. You know, we weren't outclassed. And we should be very proud of what our boys did. I know everybody's disappointed, but they were superb.
I get that, Andy, though, although I've had a lot of messages from former All Whites and trying to get a point of view from them about how this has played out. Some of them don't want to go on air, but this is sort of the reaction I've got from some of them, is that we didn't play enough football. Now, with Bahrain in 2009, yes, it played out the way we dreamed of. We held on away, we come back, we nick a goal through Rory Fallon. It feels like to me, Andy, we can't continue to do that. We can't continue to hold back and just fling the ball upfield and just hope and pray and have no possession, which is what happened in that first half against Peru.
Look, everyone's entitled to an opinion, Tony. I think the key thing is we've hired a guy in Anthony Hudson who has prepared us over the last 4 years in a way we haven't been prepared before. You just remember back to Mexico and look where this team is now. So all I can say is he's done a great job in getting us to a point where the players listen, the players perform. You know, he's a good tactician, and whatever he's done, he's tried to do the right thing with the men he had available. But as I say, you know, we know now there'll be millions of people coming with different opinions. That's their right. It's not a problem.
What is it about Anthony Hudson that you want to keep on? Now, look, we have to ask these questions, and I'll be honest. I'll say, people out there, I like Anthony. I love the fact he's come in. I love his passion. I think that's the number one attribute he's got for me. He has got unbelievable passion. Why do you want to keep him on?
What he does with the resources available is exceptional. What you've got to remember in New Zealand, both our men's and women's teams are punching, you know, well above their weight in terms of performance versus the financial commitment that we can make as a country. And Anthony has structured us, and we are set up now as close to a premiership team as we can be. The performance, the medical, the science, all of the things that goes on behind the scenes, we're forever getting feedback from top players, top coaches who know him, who provide us with players, that we're a very good operation. So I think we've got the infrastructure, we've got the systems. What we've got to continue to do, as we've been doing for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, is build the coaching capability, get our coaches offshore so they actually understand what football looks like on the world stage. We've got to get our players offshore. You've seen now for the last couple of windows, Anthony's got us a fully professional New Zealand football team for the first time ever. So those guys are now with good coaches around the world, and that will only build over time. But what you need is the figurehead who's got the connections, who's got the respect around the world. And by goodness, he has. He's probably respected much more around the world than he is in New Zealand, and seeing that in Peru, the same again. So we've got a good guy. He's in demand. There's no doubt about it. People will have seen what he's done these last 2 games, and he will be in demand. So,
Andy, let's be honest. You know, and you will know, if he's keen to stay. He's on holiday at the moment, as you know, in Argentina. He's off contract with you guys. You must have had a conversation, an initial conversation, and said, Anthony, are you keen to go around again?
We've talked for months about this. We're very close, and we know exactly where we are. But as I say, right now, it's time for the dust to settle, time for Anthony and I get in a room by ourselves again and just iron out a few details. And if we can keep him, great. And if he can't and he goes off to a bigger job, then he goes off with our support.
Here's a concept that Fred de Jong has raised with me. Take a listen about maybe a dual role for Anthony Hudson.
Maybe there's a club that want him, but he'll say, okay, well, I can do these two. You know, I'll sign a 2-year deal with you. And then after those 2 years, I'm going to go back and I'm going to coach in New Zealand.
See, here's the thing, Andy Martin, with this, he's not going to get much football, is he, with the All Whites over the next 18 months or so, because given the World Cup is going to be on, other teams are going to be focused on that. Would that potential of sharing roles work again?
I don't think so. It's certainly not something I favour, and I certainly think it wouldn't be something attractive to Anthony. But again, we'll look at things. We won't discount anything. I think the first thing, though, just let's not jump to conclusions about the activity levels. I think there's a new sports minister who's come in, he's talked to us. There's a lot of interest about what football's done over the last few months. You know, there's a number of things politically in terms of country to country that we're going to work on. So, you know, yes, we missed the World Cup and we're all very disappointed, but we've got to keep the momentum and we've got to work hard to find a way to do that.
Andy, how much does it cost us to go and play top flight opposition? I'm talking about, you know, the logistics of airfares, accommodation, getting over there, all of that. I mean, what would a game against Japan, against Mexico cost us for a one-off?
Look, you're talking of anywhere between $250,000 Kiwi dollars for one window. And what you've seen over the last cycle is we've invested probably more than we've ever done in any All Whites team. And that's what's really disappointing, because we've just come up short and we've really pumped hard over the last couple of years. We've played in every window. The Confederations Cup was topside. Obviously, Japan was a very good game for us. But, you know, we can't hide from the fact, we've said it before, you know, it wasn't that long ago, 2009, 2010, when football didn't have any money. And that certainly is not going to happen under my watch. I think we're going to make sure that we run the business well. But obviously, we've got to just be careful that we don't overspend, and we don't do that.
What do you reckon this campaign, this cycle of qualification for Russia 2018, what does that cost you?
It's probably somewhere around $8 to $9 million, I reckon, over the 4 years. So, you know, it's not cheap. And as I say, those costs to get into these games, but you've got to do it right. You know, it's no point in trying to do this on the cheap, because otherwise you're just not prepared. And when you go into big games like this, you just don't have a chance.
But if we were, let me put this philosophical argument to you, Andy. Let's say, heading into 2026 with direct qualification for Oceania, would it not be better, maybe an argument that we spend that $8 or $9 million during a four-year cycle in terms of growing talent here, grassroots, technical development, bringing coaches over here? I'm just raising that as a possibility. Would that help bridge the gap between us and the overseas nations? Because when you look at it, outside of Oceania opposition, of the last 11 matches played, we've only scored 4 goals. We've conceded 18.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of opinions. I mean, we're not just spending on the international teams. We're developing a game that's growing faster than any other sport in this country right now. It's the biggest sport. There's more people playing. But, you know, the volume is one thing. I think what we've got to do is make sure quality. And that quality only comes by putting these players in good environments. And as you've seen, Anthony has been the catalyst for this. You know, these guys, you know, Clayton Lewis last year was playing at Auckland City. He's now at Scunthorpe in the third tier of football in England. Those sort of examples are what makes the difference for us. But that doesn't happen overnight. And that's been going on over the last 3 years to get us where we are. That won't stop. You know, that's got to continue. So there's no silver bullet. But I think we've got a strong underlying business. We've got strong growth in the game. Certainly watching the country wake up to football over the last few weeks has been fantastic. And in particular, people who haven't engaged with us before. And as I say, a new government is a really good time and opportunity for us because, you know, we can go to places that other sports in this country can't. We can get to ministers other sports can't. We've got to see that, you know, people see the value in football. And we've just got very, very close to the top 10 team in the world.